Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? This is our text. Marilyn, Tom, and Russell, family, friends of Gary William Maul. I once heard a story about a little girl who, on the way home from school and when it was dark outside, she made a beeline through the cemetery every single time. And her friends asked her, why aren't you afraid? It's dark outside and there's dead bodies in there, and why do you go that way? Her response was clever. She says, the reason that I'm not afraid is that my home is just on the other side. And this is the shortest path to get there. Today, as we gather in this place, we don't gather to mourn as people who have no hope. But we gather to celebrate the life of a brother who has made it to the other side. There's a sociologist by the name of Maury Schwartz who once said that everyone knows they're going to die, but nobody believes it. See, Gary had no illusions about his own death. In fact, as the days kind of click off and the calendar pages turn and your health begins to deteriorate, you deal with that question often. But he made no illusions about it because he knew that death would ultimately one day come and it would ultimately sweep him away. But I tell you, if you knew Gary Maul very well, you'd realize that he probably didn't spend a whole lot of time thinking about dying, because he's spending far more time thinking about his favorite hobby, which was handguns, all the time. He had a passion not only for selling, but also, more importantly, buying and keeping a lot more than he sold. And his collection began to grow. Now, if you look in the back of your bulletin, you'll see that he was a member of Isaac Walton and the Lincoln Gun Club because he loved shooting his firearms. In fact, I would say it's the thing he loved the most, but I would be wrong because that would be Marilyn and his boys, but he loved it a lot. And when I met with him this week, Russell had told me that Gary even has a pistol that was specifically modified to shoot the bullseye competition. In fact, the front sight was about 3 inches extended out, and everything was polished up, and he became very proficient at always hitting the bullseye, to the point where I understand that his good friends just called him Bullseye. As you can imagine, a bullseye competition is fairly straightforward. Each competitor is giving so many rounds, the target is placed, and then the one that hits the bullseye the most is declared the winner. That's probably how it's supposed to work. But do you realize that in the Bible that God uses this term of bullseye as well? Because the word we translate as sin means missing the mark. And that idea of missing the mark is hitting somewhere outside of God's will in the way we live our lives, in our thoughts, in our words, and in our deeds. But what is true about Gary's pistol shooting ability is also true when it comes to you and me. See, he practiced a lot. He got so good at shooting his handguns that he spent a lot of time doing it. And of course, he'd occasionally miss, and like I said, it's the truth for you and me as well. See, no matter how hard we try to hit the sweet spot of God's will in our lives, we too also miss the mark. We miss living up to God's expectation of who we are. And God simply calls that sin. Now, Gary would never mix words when it came to sin. He would join with the rest of the congregation and say the same confession. I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I've ever offended you and justly deserve your temporal and eternal punishment. In other words, Pastor, you're right. I have missed the mark in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. I have fallen short of His glory. And He knew the consequences of missing the mark. Ultimately, it leads to death. For Scripture says the wages of sin is death. Now, if you stand back for a moment, you think, you know what? But I can outshoot Gary Maul. See, I can live a better life and I can do the things that need to be done in order to inherit eternal life. And then God's word comes back and slaps us along the side of the face and says, for all have sinned, or for all have missed the mark in falling short of the glory of God. Therefore, the result is that we all get visited by death. But something about Gary that I didn't know is that he loved everything about handguns. See, most people just like shooting them. Not Gary. He loved reloading them, casting his own rounds and all of that stuff. So when they went out to target practice, after the rounds were shot, they were all gathered up. Tom, some guys got the job of popping the spent primers out. And then Gary would put them into the tumbler and polish them to a beautiful shine. And Tom actually said it looked like a bucket full of treasure. It was amazing. And then he would put the new primer in. He had put just the right amount of black powder in. And then he would put in the round itself. And with that it would be polished and everything would be perfect. But he wasn't done yet. Because he took a light film of oil or grease to put on it to keep the lead from building up in the barrel of his gun so it would fire better down the road. And he has thousands of rounds at the house even today. He was an expert. It was all about being perfect every single time. And he got so good at it, other marksmen wanted to learn the craft. And so they came to old Gary. And he would sit down and he'd walk them through the process. And so there may be even some people here that have learned to reload on the back of Gary Maul. But in spite of all of his talents of reloading, Gary knew that in his life, when it came to his spiritual condition, there was not a snowball's chance he'd be able to perfect himself. He knew that he could never make amends on his own for missing the mark of God's will. In fact, he wouldn't even know where to begin. Therefore, it's God himself who took the initiative with little Gary William Maul. It was a beautiful day. It was a Sunday day. It was May the 3rd of 1936 when his parents, William and Catherine, took little swaddling Gary to a font in Scottsbluff, Nebraska. And the pastor spoke those words, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. And the water was poured and little Gary Maul was ushered into the kingdom of God. Now, if you could see that with spiritual eyes, you would see him literally being ripped out of the jaws of sin, death, and eternal damnation in this divine tug of war as Jesus Christ ushered him in to his own family. It was about 20 years later when he was living here in Lincoln. His family had joined Trinity Lutheran Churches just up the street, just a little ways. And as a young man of 20 years old, he stood before that altar and confessed faith in Christ, and he was confirmed in his baptismal grace in 1956. Therefore, he was not afraid of what transpired in his life this last Saturday at Madonna Rehabilitation Center. See, the reality is, in life, all of us end up dying. Unless Jesus comes back between now and the time of our death, we will all experience the pangs of death and drifting from this life into our heavenly home. Death will visit us all, and it never leaves empty-handed. But I want to tell you that death has lost its match with Christ. Through his death and resurrection, now Jesus Christ has power over not only sin, but also death itself. And therefore, the Apostle Paul says, for we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, he cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over him. And then again in 1 Corinthians, Paul writes these words, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of the greatest harvest of all who have died. What that tells me, that unfortunately the reality is that many have seen death so many times in this day of all the movies, and we see death all around us, and we're seeing people in the throes of death theatrically all the time. We become callous to it, but still so many are afraid. So many live a life in fear. I think it was comedian Woody Allen that says, I'm not afraid of dying, I just don't want to be there when it happens. But the reality is, we need not fear because Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life. And He's made a promise to us that as we believe in Him, we also have that gift of the resurrection and the life, and we need not fear death. It reminds me of a father who took two of his sons out for a walk one day, and a bee stung the older brother, and that older brother quickly brushed it off, but then he went kicking and screaming to the ground because the bee had stung him in the face. The younger brother saw his older brother thrashing on the ground, screaming and kicking, and so he joined him on the ground, screaming and kicking. His father looked at the younger brother and says, the bee cannot hurt you. It's lost its sting. And then he reached down and plucked that black stinger out of the older boy's face and showed it to the younger boy and says, see, I told you, there's nothing to be afraid of, nothing at all. What I'm telling you this morning is, although death still buzzes around our head, and believe you me, it is painfully annoying, but we have nothing to be afraid of. Because death no longer has mastery over us. Well, death is known as a fact of life. However, death is a defeated foe. And so if death died, what's the outcome to all those who are in faith in Jesus Christ? Gary could tell you today. Pastor, you know the epistle lesson you read about the angels and all the people in heaven and the white robes, the palm branches? That's where I am. I'm in my heavenly home. There's a pastor by the name of Vance Harnov, and he was a Bible scholar in the early 1900s. And he says, the hope of dying is the only thing that keeps me alive. And he went on, why is this so? It's because death no longer has a hold on us, and it can never keep us down. Death in life is merely a doorway into that heavenly home that God has prepared for us. Now, I'm quite sure Gary really wasn't much of a golfer, but there was a fairly good story told about a golfer by the name of Paul Azinger. You know, Paul Azinger had just won the PGA Championship. He had 10 other victories in the Pro Tour under his belt. He was quite accomplished, and he was 33 years old. And he was diagnosed with cancer. He would go on in his book called Zinger to write this about his battle. He said this, "A genuine feeling of fear came over me. I could die from cancer. Then another reality hit me even harder. I'm going to die eventually anyway, whether from cancer or something else. It's just a question of when. Everything I had accomplished in golf became meaningless to me. All I wanted to do was to live." And then he continued, "I've made a lot of money since I've been on the tour, and I've won a lot of tournaments, but what's happiness is always temporary. The only way that you can ever have true contentment is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that nothing ever bothers me, and I don't have problems, but I feel like I found the answer to that 6-foot hole that's in front of all of us." You know, this morning as we gather in this place, as I said when we begin, we don't gather here to mourn as those who have no hope. We stand here in defiance of death, in defiance of sin, because of Christ. Therefore, today when we leave this place and we lay our brother's body to rest within the grave, it is not forever goodbye, it's only I'll see you in a little while. So today my prayer for you is that you find great comfort in Christ, in His crucifixion for your sins, in the empty tomb, which is His promise to each and every one of you through faith in Jesus. Death has no power over you. Amen? Amen. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.